Now I realize that it's wajib in the Hanafi madhab to stay there until the morning. And many people, you find all the Turks staying there until the morning and praying Fajr there at Muzdalifah. All the Hanafis praying there until Fajr. But my wife and I, both of us did our Hajj in the Shafi'i madhab, and that's what I'm describing to you. And the Hajj is someplace, the Hajj is very simple. There's not many acts that you have to do. There's not many wajibs in the Hajj. It's fairly simple from the point of view of the bare minimum that one can do. But it is a place where one should take from other madhabs, if necessary. Okay, it is a place where one should take, because people are killed in Hajj, because they're trampled, because of overcrowding. You know, it's been made easy. There's no longer, you know, highway robbers, you know, waylaying a person and killing them and taking their money and so forth. But there is crowding, and one has to be patient with it, and it is difficult. So I'm giving the tips that, you know, I'm talking about the validity of the Hajj on the Shafi'i madhab. And there's nothing wrong. Doing the Hajj on the Shafi'i madhab will not involve tawfiq or impermissible mixing with your salat or with your wudu or with anything else. And it's a way to do the Hajj in a valid way, a way that is valid, on at least according to one of the imams. And so you stay at Muzdalifah until just before the middle of the night, and then you start moving towards Mina. You start going towards Mina, such that you're in Muzdalifah just after the middle of the night. You won't reach the edge of it until just after the middle. You stay there till just after the middle of the night. You should calculate what the middle of the night is. Middle of the night is midway between Salatul Fajr. Excuse me, not Salatul Fajr, the Tulu' al-Fajr, the first coming of Fajr. When Fajr first comes, between that point and between Maghrib and between that point. Midway, chances are it'll be about 20 minutes to 12. That's what it was when we did it. At that point in time, you have to be in Muzdalifah. Okay, and just after that, the Shafi'i madhab, it stipulates for the mabit, for the spending the night at Muzdalifah, means that you have to be there for at least one moment at some point after the middle of the night. So you just stay there long enough to be there to fulfill that condition, and then you proceed, you and whoever's with you, your wife, or if you're doing it with just one or two other people, and on foot towards Mina. Okay? You get to Mina, and there's a long walk. This is the real walk. It takes a few hours. You're going to be walking. And you're walking down towards Mina, and you stop at Jamrat al-Aqaba. And as I remember, it's the last one. You skip the first one. There's three stoning sites in Mina. Three stoning sites. Okay, there's three stoning sites, one after another, and you'll see a big superhighway overpass, you know, an upper level, if you will. Just walk under it, and you see the stoning sites go up above to the superhighway overpass. You know, you can stone it up above or down below, on the ground level. There's going to be nobody there at that time. You'll be arriving there about 1 o'clock at night. You'll be arriving at Mina about 1 o'clock at night on foot. The whole place will be empty. You skip the first jamra, the first pillar, and you go to the next one. You skip the next one also, and you go to the last one. And you'll see a small number of people around it, you know, probably 20 or 30 people at the most, throwing there. And you take your pebbles that you picked up at Mina, at Muzdalifah, the seven pebbles, and you stone the pillar. Okay, something about stoning the pillars, a detail that you should know, is that sometimes there won't be anybody there, and that's why you came in the middle of the night on foot, is because there isn't anybody. In the morning, people will be trampled. People will be, you know, there'll be an absolute, you know, 3 million people all trying to stone the pillar the next day. And if you go at this time at night, you'll see about 15, 20 people around there. Okay, so you throw your pillars. You throw your seven stones at the pillar, the Jamrat al-Aqaba, and then you'll look off to the side, and you'll see a row of buses. You go into you go to the bus, one of the buses that's sitting there, which one is going down to the Haram. They'll be saying, Haram, Haram. You get on the bus, and they'll take off with you, and you'll be going down to the Haram, to the Kaaba. Okay, here, and you're trying to hurry. You know, you're anxious to get to the Kaaba because the press, the Tawaf, the great Tawaf, is very, very, very crowded. The next day, it's really something. It's, you know, like 3 million people all trying to make Tawaf in the masjid. So what you want to do is you want to try to get down there before 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock in the morning is when it starts picking up. When there's a lot of people, so you're trying to get your stone at the Jamal al-Aqab, you get on the bus, you go down to the, and you try to make your tawaf, you know, make your tawaf 7 times, read how it is done, and you read the du'as that you find in the reliance of the traveler, and you make your fard tawaf. Okay, what you have to do to release yourself from ihram, you know, to complete your hajj, is the stoning that pillar that you just stoned, and cutting the hair, and making the tawaf of fard. Okay, so you go down and you make the going forth circumambulation, tawaf of fard, and then you cut your hair. Make your sa'i and cut your hair after the sa'i. You make your sa'i between Safa and Marwa and then cut your hair at the end of it. And this will bring you up all the tawaf and the going with the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. It will take a couple hours. If you get there before 2 o'clock, you can do the tawaf without too much trouble. It won't be absolutely zugged and plugged with people. And you'll be able to do it, you know, fairly quickly. And then you go out and you do the sa'i, you go to the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. And they have people cutting the hair. At the end of it, you'll get there perhaps 3 o'clock in the morning or 4, you'll be finished. Between 3:30 or so. And you cut your hair, men and women. If you have a scissors with you, it's better. But men should have their hair shaved there. And then you'll finish then at the Adhan of Fajr, perhaps cutting the, if you have to wait in line at the barbershop. There's barbershops right at the end of Safa and Marwa, right at the Marwa gate. You go out the door and there's a row of barbershops there, you can get your hair cut there. Then you pray Fajr at the Masjid al-Haram, and then you go home and relax. For Eid al-Adha, you go home and relax. Pray your Dhuhr at home, and pray your Asr at home, you know, at the hotel room. Because there's just tremendous, immense, immense crowding, people killing each other, literally, over the rites that you've performed. You've finished everything before Salatul Fajr. And your animal, your hadi, is slaughtered for you by the terms of the contract that you made that very morning. And so you're free. You can change back into your ordinary clothes. Men can change them back into their ordinary clothes. You finished your hajj. Okay, there only remains what? The stoning, the pillars at, or the mabit in Mina. Staying the night at Mina for the days of Tashriq. Okay. So you go home and relax. And okay, how do you make the mabit in Mina? Mina is one of the most difficult things in the hajj. Because it's absolutely, you have all the Muslims going out there to camp, you know, you have to go back the night of Eid al-Adha, you have to have the mabit, you have to spend the night at Mina. Okay, what should you do? You should, as I said, relax at Dhuhr, relax at Asr, back at your hotel room, rest up, sleep a little bit. After Asr comes, you have to, the mabit, according to Shafi'i Madhab, is that you'll be there, just before Maghrib until after the midnight, after the middle of the night. You have to spend most of the night there. So what do? You go out at Asr and you go through, there's a tunnel. There's a tunnel for walkers. A tunnel for those who walk that they board through the mountain from the Masjid al-Haram to Mina. And you go down that. You walk down that, and you walk, and you walk, and you walk, until you get to Mina. At Mina, you find a place to sit down. You can get there, you can get from by the tunnel of the walkers. You can get there before Maghrib. You sit down and you're on some place that's above the crowd. Mina is absolutely filthy. It's absolutely junky, and it's really quite gross, and people get grossed out by the chaos there. You should just find a place above the crowd. My wife and I found a overpass, a traffic overpass that was closed off to vehicles, and we just put our prayer rugs down there and sat on them, and above the crowd, and just wait. You make dhikr, you make salat, and so forth from Maghrib until approximately an hour. A good time is an hour after the middle of the night, and that's your mabit. An hour after the middle of the night, you go, you get on a bus and go back to the haram, and go back to your hotel room. As I said, most of your movements are at night. That's the wisest. And you can sleep and rest during the day in your hotel room at school. This mabit is wajib for the Shafi'i madhab. This mabit is wajib. It's obligatory for the Shafi'i madhab. It's a sunnah for the Hanafis. But you can't mix here. If you're going to do your hajj by the Shafi'i madhab, the easy measures that I described, you should do the mabit and consider it obligatory. Okay, this is on Eid al-Adha. The night of Eid al-Adha, the night of the 10th of Hijjah. Okay. And then the next day is the first day, the 11th, Dhul-Hijjah, is the first day for stoning the pillars at Mina. Okay? This is where people die. A lot of people die. They're trampled underfoot because everyone's in a rush. You don't go to Mina to stone on the first day. Skip it. What you're going to do is you're going to do both the stoning of the days of Tashriq. You're going to gather both of them in the second of the days. You have 3 days that you're supposed to do it. You can post the time for all three stonings begins on the first, or the time of the first stoning begins on the first day, and its time extends until the sunset of the third day. In other words, you can put it any time thereafter. You don't have to be in the press of people killing each other in order to stone. Okay, so what will you do? As we said, on the night of the 10th, the night of Eid al-Adha, in other words, after Eid al-Adha, you go out and you spend the night at Mina. Okay, after you've spent most of the night there, you go back to your hotel room, an hour after midnight. Go back to your hotel room, rest, kick back, relax at your hotel room until Asr of the next day, and repeat the procedure. So Asr of the 11th. Okay, you go out after Asr, and you walk again through the tunnel of because the transportation out to Mina is very, very difficult to get any transportation. But the transportation back in the middle of the night is a bit easier to get. That's why I mention it. So you go out walking again after Asr, and you go to Mina. You get there before Maghrib, and you find a place to sit, as you did before, and you sit up above the second night. Okay, then you go home again, and the morning comes on the 12th of Dhul-Hijjah. This is the day that you'll do your stoning of the three pillars. It's the second permissible day of doing the stoning. And each time, so you have to pick up, you have to have 42 pebbles with you at this time. 42 pebbles, bean-sized pebbles that you picked up. You can get them from outside of the walker's tunnel. You can find stones around there that have not been previously used or anything, just little tiny stones. You can pick them up off the ground. Okay, and you go, and you should try to be a little bit earlier that day. Pray Asr and go directly at Asr out to Mina, out to the walker. You find that this is the second day that these are where the accidents and sunstrokes and the deaths happen, or these stoning at Mina. So you'll go out after Salat al-Asr. You'll find that in comparison to the horrible scenes that the morning has witnessed and that happened the day before, It's relatively empty, almost empty. Okay. And you're coming out from Mecca to Mina. Okay, you'll see that the pillars, as I mentioned, there's a flyover, and the pillars go straight up, and they come up through the flyover, and so people can stone up at the above levels and the lower levels. It's like a freeway, whatever you call it in British English. Yeah, a flyover. Is that understood, what it is? Yeah, a concrete bridge, in other words, the cars normally would go on. Okay? You're walking from Mecca now. There's three pillars. The first one you come to is the one that you previously stoned, right? It was the one you stoned. It was Jamrat al-Aqaba, because you were coming from the other direction. We said you skipped the first one you came to from that direction, from Arafah direction. You skipped the second one. So the first one, the one closest to Mecca, is the one that you previously stoned. Okay, you don't stone that one first. What you do is you go to the far end of the three pillars. You go on the overpass. You go above. Why? Because there's people camping and hanging out down below, and you don't want to stumble over them. There's almost nobody overhead. And after Asr, almost nobody there. They're killing each other in the morning, and it's almost empty after Asr. So this is the time you'll make your move. Okay? You go down to the far end of the three pillars. Okay? And there's still some people around. There's still quite a few people around. The people are moving along. They're moving along, walking past the pillars. Okay. One thing that you'll notice is that, you know, the pillars here, and the people are coming like here, you know, coming in this direction, and the pillars here. You find that in the wake of the flow of people, it will be almost empty. So what you do is you walk around the pillar the same direction with the people, and then you come back from the opposite side of the way that the people are flowing. You're not trying to crowd people out from the direction that they're coming on the first, but you come in the wake of the flow of people. And that way you'll be able to get close to the pillars easily and throw. Okay, in this situation. People are moving. What do? You come around, the pillar is here, the people are coming from this direction, you go with the flow and then you come back. And the people, it's relatively thin. There's hardly any people there because it's on the other side. The flow is the other way and the people are jostling down here, you know, on the first side. So you come back and you come in from the opposite direction. Of the flow of the people. You come up and you can move fairly close to the pillar fairly easily without much jostling. Okay, you throw your seven pebbles intending throwing for the previous day. You're doing the previous day's throwing. So you intend it for the previous day. Okay. You throw your seven pillars and then you're working your way back towards Mecca with the three pillars that are there. Okay. You begin at the far one, and then you come to the second one, the second pillar, Jamrat al-Wusta. Okay. And you'll throw seven pebbles there too, the same way. Look at which way the crowds are coming and come from behind, where it's thin. It's thinned out. It's like a wake with water. And you come again behind and you throw your seven pebbles on the Jamrat al-Wusta, also intending for the previous day's throwing. Then you do the same with the closest pillar to Mecca. You throw your three pebbles, and intending to be also the previous day's stoning. Then you go again to where you began. You go to the farthest of the three stoning sites. You're up on the overpass still. You go to the farthest of the three stoning sites, farthest from Mecca, closest to Khayf. Mosque, Masjid al-Khayf. Again, where you began, and you intend stoning for today. Today's stoning. And you throw seven. And then you repeat the process. You're working back to the next one, the next closest Jamrat to Mecca. You stone seven there, intending to stone for today also. And then you come to the closest one to Mecca, Jamrat al-Aqaba, which was the one that you stoned previously, on the previous when you're coming on the, after the night of Arafah, and you stone that. Okay, now, if you leave Mina at this point before sunset, then you don't have to come and stone for the third day. If you leave Mina at this point, you have to, and at this point, you come back to Mecca, and everything's finished. If you can manage to leave Mina, you can stone for those 2 days there. You've done this between Asr and Maghrib. You have to step lively to get all the stoning done. And then after this, it's it's permissible to leave on the second day, and almost everybody does. Almost nobody stays for the third day. If you can complete all the stoning before sunset that second day, then you've finished. Okay, so you go to Mecca, and then you prepare yourself, and then you leave Mecca. You make the tawaf al-wida, the tawaf of farewell, circumambulation of farewell, and then you leave. And so these are just some of the things that we found. You notice most of the moves are made at night. You avoid all the crowding. You don't kill yourself or anyone else. And it's just a, this is what I was advised. And we did it. We followed these instructions. And we found the Hajj a very easy matter. The only thing is you have to be able to walk a little bit. You know. And so we found it easy in this way. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad.